big, warm welcome to Pastor Mark Ward, who's got an awesome word today.
Thank you, sir. Can you hear that? Is it on? Perfect. Oh, wow. It's good worship, amen. I tell you, it's a part of, it becomes a lifestyle. When you know God and you seek God, you begin to worship God, and you begin, I was speaking that because I wanted everyone to embrace that moment right there when the Holy Spirit comes, amen, and we get to surrender. For me, my surrender time is worship, personally, and I found out that God's plan is better than mine. I need to give my control over to God. We're going to talk about that. And when I give that over to him, I can gain peace because my trust went to him. And my plan all of a sudden is his plan. And during worship, that's where I really experience that. And as I've grown in worship, I've been doing worship. I just say doing worship because I'm just a part of this. I get a coach to this team, but I'm probably the least talented one of all the worship people that come as far as this style of worship that we have with Taya and Luke and others that we have. And I just feel blessed to just be able to stand in the presence of God and feel his presence. Amen. Could you feel that today? And if something's holding you back, what I'm telling you is he wants you to free up. Woo! Because for me, it's about abandoning over to Jesus. It's about abandoning to the Holy Spirit my life. And that word's going to really resonate in us today. Because at some point, we got to stop thinking with our flesh and start thinking with the Spirit that God gave us so that we can have joy and peace and reach the fullness of God's plan in our life. Woo! Amen. That's my goal. And only by failure was I able to achieve that. Only by being on the bottom did I see the power of God in my life, because it came a point in time that I need to surrender. And you know what he wants more from me every day? More surrender. Oh, I need it every day. I was surrendering all the time to God, and then I had children. And then my children, I start jumping into their lives, and I needed to surrender them over to God too. That's a hard one for me, because I was like, wow, God, I'm doing really good. I'm getting closer, and I'm surrendering to you good, and I'm following you. And then, wait, I got to surrender more. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot to surrender, but God has more than we can ever give up. Wow. That's a powerful message today. When we get into the word, I'm praying only that you hear what worship's about and what God has for you and nothing to do with me. I want to be surrendered today. Ever since Pastor Mark, it's been a month, he told me that he's going to be gone. I've been feeling, because God has me engaged in this, to talk about worship. And I believe that there, it's not only what I believe you're going to hear today, is it's way more than what you ever thought it was. We're actually going to find out that worship might be the very reason that we're here. Woo! And it's not just music. I worship God with my tithe. I worship God with my prayer time. I worship God when I get in the Word. I worship God when I go out to the ball field and turn on my radio or turn on the music and listen to Him. I worship God by surrendering, and I worship Him by fasting. I worship Him by giving up certain things in my life. All this is worship. Okay, so we get it stuck in our head in America. I was listening to a word the other day, and someone said, we have a rock list. We have a, you know, we're talking about on our phones, I guess. I'm not that good at it, but we have different lists. What's it called? Different playlists. There you go. We have a rock playlist, different playlist, and we have a worship playlist. Worship's not really a genre. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm pretty sure if we are giving love to rock music, or we're putting love in this area, we're actually worshiping something that's not of God, if it's not from God. You see what I'm saying? And there's going to be something clear and distinct that we get today. So we have to pray that our hearts and minds are open, that you came to receive or you can't. Something I do every time. There's going to be more people here. I believe that everybody's going to be good ground today. Okay, but where your ground is going to be open to how much you can abandon to God and hear his word, not me. You're not going to hear, my prayers you don't hear from me. You hear from God today, and how good our ground is how much we take out of this today, and it can become impactful and life-changing for us tomorrow. Woo, that's good. And that's very true every day, okay? We have to surrender. We do. Before we get into this, I'm going to pray. It's hard for me not to go to the finish line right off the bat. Wow, I've been working on this one for a while. I pray it comes forward, and I look at all these pages, and I'm like, God, there's no way this can happen, so I'm just going to trust that there's a good plan, okay? And we're going to hear what we need to hear, and that's it. We do want to pray for Patricia's dad today. She's gone there. Pastor Mark's at real estate school doing what stuff he does with his work stuff, and that's all good. I'm thankful for Pastor Mark, and then he has the ability to get away and do that because it's part of what he does. He gets to be engaged with so many people. I love Pastor Mark with the radio and the things that he does at outside. I know he goes and ministers to so many people, so many different things that no one knows about. I'm thankful for his willingness. He goes to companies and prays for people. He goes and he's just always been that guy, whether you know that or not. I'm going to brag on him because he's not here and he can't tell me not to. But he goes to different things and invests himself in things a lot and goes above and beyond. And you know what? Because that's his worship. That's his act of following God's plan in his life, and therefore he's blessed. That's abandoning something that he would rather do than drive 2 hours and deal with someone that maybe is in a tragedy. That's abandoning to God. That's being obedient. But the blessing flows in that for him, too. And I'm thankful that I get to come today, and he's prepared me this week, and then Dusty next week. He's going to have a great word and believe that it humbles me to just be trusted. Because I know in my flesh I'm really not good enough to be here, but in my spirit, God's good enough to forgive me of my sins. Amen. Listen, he's either God or he's not. He either forgave Mark Ward of his sins yesterday, today, and forever, or he didn't. Somebody needs to hear that. I'm going to need him today and tomorrow. Amen. We all are. Okay, so let's pray. Father God, we come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, thankful for this day. God, open our hearts and minds to your Holy Spirit, God, that you would move and teach us about worship. Teach us where it came from, where your people can gain a new place, a new position, a new surrender in you. God, a new understanding about who you are and what you have for them. God, I pray that over your people today. I pray this word can only come from you. God, I pray for Patricia right now, and I pray for her dad, God, just strength, good reports coming. Health is coming there in Jesus' name. We stand together. We're two or more standing together, Father. We just lift up Patricia's dad and God and everything that she does for this church. God, she's blessed because she commits a lot. She worships you in so many ways. And God, you know your daughter. And God, we just stand in the gap that you're going to be there with her, give her peace, and bring healing to that place today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the Holy Spirit's going to reveal some things today. I believe this. And if you get something, write it down and remember. What I started doing was writing things down. And then one day I just kept writing stuff down that I started writing books just because I found out that God was really good. And I'd rather just figure out what he has for me. Do we operate in that every day? No, we struggle. We live in the world. We all do. But I do know that at one point in my time, I was so distracted by God that that's all I wanted to do 24/7. And that's where I want to be every day. That's where I want to be all the days of my life. We're going to get to that. I don't want to jump ahead, but let's talk about what worship is. When I go out and I research, I listen to Robert Morris, Stephen Furtick. I've been digging into different messages, all what God, the revelations that God has given them out of the Word, and what yoked with my spirit. And I'm bringing that to this message today because I felt like there's a lot here and I want to make sure I don't miss this. So I want to know who else is getting this word. And then I'm going to take that and put what God gave me together in doing worship and put that all together and believe that he's going to show us some things. The main thing that everybody will tell you that worship is love expressed. We're expressing love to God. And very seldom outside of these four walls or outside of here can I get to that place. I mean, I can in my car and I worship God. And I can get to a place that I'm experiencing the Holy Spirit, yes, at my house or in my prayer time and things like that. But it goes to another level here, you know, and this abandoning of this and this surrendering of this because the people that are up here, and I'm gonna brag on Taya for a minute and Luke. And Luke's not here. Luke has a deal. He's at a a convention today that he needs to go to for his work, and that's okay too. Everybody, we got the things going on, but I want to speak over these young people and the people that you see up here, because what I experience and I know, because I've been with Taya for 10 years standing in the presence of God in worship before I could play an instrument. Before, and I used to sit out there going, God, I wish we had live worship. And then here I am playing worship. My family plays worship, but I experienced willingness and then talent. What I found out was when you start doing something for God, he's going to give you an opportunity to expand in your talent and give you another talent and give you another talent. And we've seen it unfold and manifest. There was a day, and I got to speak this because you'll remember it. Taya was a little girl. Luke was, we were up at the old building. I'm not sure. Parker was probably just born. And we're way back here now. We had the church up here, and I remember setting the electric guitar on the stage and saying, I wish we could have worship. And Pastor Mark goes, we're just going to put a guitar on the stage until it becomes worship here. We just set a guitar up there, and then remember that, Taya? I don't think you do. We would put worship sheets up there, and we'd sing to the music. Little did we know that every single person that stands on this stage, that was standing on the stage today, was already here. And none of us had ever experienced any type of real worship before. And it's just exploded, and it just continues to come. But I believe that God had a plan and obedience and people that are willing. And here's what I will tell you about Taya, because I'm going to brag on it. I know this about Luke, too. They take it serious that they abandon. Everybody, and here's what happens in our flesh versus our spirit. We show up. Taya's going to sing great because I can hear Taya and she can really sing. But I'm telling you, after you get here and you experience it, you're not listening to Taya because she can sing. Because I know she's singing to God. And there's a pathway and a portal from his people through you. And you've been given that gift your whole life. And I've experienced it since all the way back to when your brother went home to be with the Lord. That God had a plan, and we're going to hear about it today. And the victory flows through you straight from the throne of God to his people. Wow. And our worship here is healthy because we have people that will abandon themselves to Jesus. That's what we were experiencing today. And I used to go, God, I hope nobody sees me because it breaks me every week. I don't want to cry in front of people. I don't really care because I want to give it up to God. You understand? I've got to the point that I am abandoned. Okay? And how do I do it? I show up, and what do? I have to get myself. We start getting ourselves out of the way, and we pray. I'm throwing my crowns at your feet. Every week we pray it. Everything that would be of me, God, is goes at your feet so the portal of God in heaven can open up and your people can worship you in spirit and truth by your word. And we can get set free and experience something that's great today and powerful from our heart, straight from your throne, God. How do we get out of your way and allow that to happen? That's what our worship team invests in. Amen. And we take it serious here. And are we perfect people? No, but we serve a perfect God who will show up when I need him. Because one thing he knows about me is when I'm struggling, I am going to hit my knees. And I am going to abandon myself to God. And so is the worship team here. Woo, jumped way ahead. Okay, worship in the dictionary. The feeling of expression or reverence and adoration for a deity, to worship God. The actual right, a deity. You know, we can worship Satan. We can worship other things. We can worship, I'm going to get into it here in a minute. Worship, what is worship according to the Bible? The most common words translated worship in the Bible mean to kneel or lay face down before someone as an act of reverence. Biblical worship is acknowledging that God is the King and results in living lives in the light of that truth. We're going to live our lives in the light of the truth that he's king, that we worship, and that he knows what's best for me. That's what we do. I think about a Christmas song because we just got done with Christmas, and the wise men went, and they took the gold. That's actually an act of worship, by the way. And silver, myrrh, I don't even know what frankincense. Not sure what all those things are. But anyway, they took those and they laid them, and they worshiped him. I don't think the wise men broke out in a duet or in a, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's not always music's what I'm saying. Don't let it get twisted into what worship is. They bowed down and worshiped the king. And you know what I love about that? They were wise men. Wise men would bow down and worship the king. They were wise men in the Bible for a reason. It's telling you if you're wise, you will worship God. Whew. It didn't say the people that aren't very smart, because then I could relate, right? If they said the people that aren't real wise, I could have testified to that. Amen. But he says the wise men. Okay, I just used that one. But another thing about surrender, and I had to tell you, we sang See a Victory today. I'm going to see a victory. And this just jumped out. We were singing that a few weeks ago. Luke brought that song. It's a great song, Dad. Powerful. We worship it. And I caught myself singing it because I didn't know it very well. I'm going to see the victory. I'm going to see the victory. When I put the in there, I was going, why is this song saying a victory? I'm going to see a victory. And then I went, when I put the in there, I was wanting to see the victory that I had in my mind, what my victory is, that God, you're going to do it the way that Mark Ward wants it. I will promise you the reason it says I'm going to see a victory is because it's under the surrender to whatever that victory you want for me, God, is. Wow. There's a reason it says that. But how many of us are fixated and we can't get out of the control or abandon ourselves away from the fact that it has to be my victory, the victory that I've already placed in my head of how you've got to do it, God, so you can get it the way that I need you to do it. Woo! Because my pride and my envy won't get out of the way to think it could be done a better way because God's better at it than I am. Wow. That really spoke to me. I'm going to see a victory. It's hard for me to wake up in the morning and go, God, I don't know what it is, but I want to see a victory in it. My family, my children, show me what it is. Because I have it all mapped out for you if I try, God. Do it just like this. That's about control. That's what we're really going to get into with worship, because technically worship is about relinquishing control. And how many of us like doing that? Wow, I get up here and worship now and I know I'm free. I really could jump around, but I can't jump much anymore because I'm getting too old to do it. But I don't care because I want to surrender and be abandoned. Okay, in that. Okay, so I talk about Tay and Luke, unashamed dependence on God. For I am unashamed of the gospel of Jesus. For it is the power of God that rests inside of me. Amen. I am unashamed of the power of God. I am unashamed of the gospel. I am unashamed to tell you that I'm saved today in Jesus' name. I'm not embarrassed about it. I am unashamed of that. It's very important that we know that. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God through salvation for everyone who believes, first the Jew first, then also the Greek. We're the Gentiles. Okay? And Paul came and this came to us. This is us. We're not supposed to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. But how many times when we don't want to go, yeah, I trust you, God. We darn sure don't want anybody to know that we don't have control. Wow, that's the first step it takes for people. And sometimes it takes failing miserably, openly, to be able to get to a place of surrender. I need you, Lord. You are right, and I am not. I am lost without you. Worship gets you through the hardest times of your life because it shifts the focus from the problem to the problem solver. You guys have heard that, right? So when I get and I start worshiping God, I forget all about my problems. When I'm standing right up here today, in that moment, nothing else matters. He's got it. Well, the problem is I have to go back out there. So I want to take this back out there with me. Amen. And we want to press into God, because you know what the enemy is going to do? Distract you, and that's where we're going. How distracted are we? Woo! I preach about this all the time. I used to preach about this, about where are you busy, where are you spending your time, and where are you busy? God took it to a whole nother level, and all those messages I've been preaching about being busy with other things, God is showing me, no, you're worshiping other things. We are bowing down to other things. So now after about the last 3 or 4 messages I've preached here, God's even taken me to another place to tell you all that what I believe God's telling me to tell you is that we have to be, it's all about who we worship or what we worship, okay? Worship's found 198 times in the Bible. I'm going to ask a question. Does anybody know what book of the Bible has worship the word worship in it more than any other book? Anybody want to guess? Because there's kind of one that people would think Psalms, maybe. Would you think Psalms or Proverbs? It's actually I believe it's in the book that we're actually living in today. It's the book of Revelations. Yeah, we are living in the book of Acts. That's right. The book of Acts is what we're walking out. But I also believe the book of Revelations is where we're going. And when you talk about worship, it's 22 times the word worship is in the book of Revelations. And it's talking about people either worshiping God or worshiping the dragon. Whew, man, it just gave me chills because I've been invested in this. And it got revealed to me who the dragon is. The dragon has no power in your life if you know Jesus. So book of Revelations is not scary. In fact, I'm ready to go home and be with the Lord whenever he says, let's go. Amen. That's good. Okay, so I want to go to John 4:24. Carrie's so good at getting this stuff. Thank you, babe. She has a hard time. I'll just bounce around on her. But God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. See, it doesn't say worship him again. After the word worship, this jumped out at me. Because I read this all the time. That's what we do in worship. That's our scripture, right? God is spirit. He is. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So we worship in our spirit man. And when we worship in our spirit man, it also has to be aligned with the truth, which is who Christ is, who God is, and what he aligned us to. That's it. Because I can worship in my flesh, and then I'm not going to be aligned with the truth. And then we're going to find out that I'm actually worshiping the enemy or the beast. Woo, it's deep, isn't it? Everybody's going to go, wow, it's kind of, we don't want to get into the beast. No, the beast is real. I tell you what Satan's biggest deception is. He wants everyone to believe that he doesn't exist. And if he can keep us all out, there's no such thing as that. In my life, I've experienced that I know the enemy exists. Praise God, he has no power in my life as long as I know Jesus is Savior. Amen? Okay, so it led me, when I read this, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. It led me to this next scripture. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and those are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish. If I don't worship in my spirit and in the truth of God, there's a good chance I'm over in my flesh, and it contradicts the truth. Wow. And I can actually read the Bible in my flesh and just get mad because it's not working out for me. You see what I'm saying? I can worship in my flesh, okay? Because they are contrary. If you haven't figured that out yet, you haven't lived long enough to understand that we're all in a war. There's a spiritual battle taking place. And God is spirit. And I want to worship him in spirit and in truth so that I can align and I can get peace because I trust this plan. Because this one over here, every time I jump and it's all in the word, every time I try to attack or fight back in my flesh and get over the enemy's battlefield, I'm going to lose every time. Here's the deal. It doesn't even matter if you're right on a topic. You can think, boy, I'm right about that and Joe's wrong. I'm going to show Joe he's wrong. You jump over there into your flesh, you'll lose because of envy and pride, and you'll be thinking you're better than Joe, and we're going to learn about that. Because when I jump over there and I start fighting that battle, I'll show so-and-so. We all do it, right? Let me tell you something. Stop trusting yourself that you know something better than everybody else, because you'll put yourself on the throne, and you'll make yourself in pride, and you'll make yourself in envy. It'll be about how you told Joe how he needed to do it. It'll become about you and not God. And somewhere down the end of that road, if you keep doing that and you become your own God, you're going to be just like Lucifer, who was cast out of heaven here in a minute. You're going to find out that your own envy will bury you. Woo! I don't mean bury you physically. I'm talking it will spiritually diminish who God wants you to be. We talked about that last time I was here. If I'm not operating in God and chasing God, then my spirit man is actually suffering and dying because I'm going the wrong direction, right? This is a spiritual book. We're talking about spiritual things. Okay, so we're going to move on. Page 1, we're done. Okay. I'm just going to go into this in the Message Bible. This popped out at me, and this is only in the Message Bible that it's written this way, because I've been using the word all day called abandoning. Really, it's trusting. But for some reason, God wanted us to focus on that we need to abandon something. Trust really is that, but we've heard trust so much that I trust you, Lord, do you? I'll abandon for you, God. Okay. Do you see what I'm saying? I love this right here. He taught me how to sing the latest God song. Woo! Latest God song. Okay? I do that because here too, just because hymns have been around for 100 years and they're the most anointed, I love them. I love going back and doing hymns and stuff. It doesn't mean that there's not a new song. Amen. Sometimes we get stuck on the fact that we sing new songs, but right here, he taught me how to sing the latest God song, a praise song to our God. More and more people are seeing this. They enter the mystery, abandoning themselves to God. Because the mystery is really, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm abandoned. Now I'm living in mystery because I trust you, Lord, to unfold this plan in my life. Abandoning myself to your plan. And you know how hard I hold on to my children, my family at times going, I'm not sure. See, I got to a point when my kids grow up, I have to abandon them to God's plan. And those of you that have young children and are going to experience this next step have to understand that's a whole other deal again. You can surrender yourself, but then you want to fight those battles until sooner or later you surrender your children to God. Amen. Thank God we can raise them right in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it based on God's word. Okay. Abandoning themselves to God. In the worship part of the service, people sing to God, but they don't abandon themselves to God. Some of you abandoned some today. Some of you abandoned a lot today. Some of us didn't abandon anything. And I'm not trying to be hard. I'm just going to tell you the truth, okay? In other words, you come in control, and you leave here in control. I used to be that guy. I come in here, and I abandon. I hope I don't leave here without it being in control at the end of today, because I need God to fix something this week. Amen. I want to be abandoned and leave here and him just go fix whatever that mystery is he needs to fix in my life. I've got things I need fixed. So I came in here in control, and I don't want to leave here in control anymore. Problem is, we got a lot of things to control today, don't we? Our finances, our job, busy, distracted. We're going to get to that here in just a second. In your quiet time, do you go into your quiet time in control and then leave in control? And the word, when you spend time with God, do you really relinquish that control to the Holy Spirit right there in your quiet time? God showed me that as part of this, because I need to get into my quiet time. And here's the hard part with me with quiet time. I'm just going to get transparent. Sometimes in the morning, we're rushed. We got to get kids off. Carrie's going to school. I get up, and I'm going to go, okay, I'm going to get my word real fast. And I know now, through the time spending with God, I really want to sit down there and abandon. And I got 12 minutes and the dog's barking and we got to feed the cats and I've got to get to school. Okay, I mean, let's be real, right? And there's a part of me that goes, I'm going to start reading this word, God, and I'm going to read a little bit, but I'm not sure I'm really abandoning to you today. I'm going to read the word, but am I going to leave control here this morning? Someone needs to hear that. What do I need to do? Get up earlier. Carrie and I are like 5:30 early now. Some days it's not, guys. I'm telling you. 6, I'm like, how early is early? Well, it needs to be early enough that I can give up control if I'm going to spend quiet time with the Lord. And really, that's worship. I'm worshiping God with my time. Okay? Does that make sense? Is everybody staying with me on that? Okay, so we do that. I'm in a hurry. There's 5 scriptures. I did my deed, Lord, and left. But you know what? I've also learned the power of the living word of God. If I just open this thing, there was an act of obedience there, and it seems like my day's better if I just simply open it. I've learned that with God. You didn't read your word? No, but I made an effort to get up. My Bible stayed open. You know, when I was struggling at one point in my time, I just left my Bible open on my table, knowing that when I went by and looked at it, that there's an act of worship there, and I'm looking for you, God, even though I'm not sitting down there and reading it yet. Just a small step. God just is saying, just come on, Mark. Get back in my word. I found out that if I just open it, there's power in that. because it's an act of worship, but I still want to abandon because that doesn't mean I've given up control. I may be miserable because I'm holding on to something that God just wants me to let go. Oh, I'm going to go to this little analogy real quick. It's back in the over in Africa or wherever they're trying to capture these monkeys. They put the apple inside the jar. I learned this a long time ago. And these monkeys will put their hand in there and they grab that apple and they will not let go of that apple until the hunter comes to slay them. All they got to do is let go and pull their hand out. How many of us won't let go of the apple and pull the hand out and just let God control, just take over? Freedom was about letting go. And these animals are murdered and taken into captivity. Are we put into captivity because we just don't simply abandon ourselves to God? Wow, that'll preach. What are you seeking? What are we distracted by? God, I can't get through all this. There's a lot I want to tell you. Is everybody okay? Because there's a good word here. Okay. Oh, this is like a 10-week series. We'll be out of here by 3. I'm just kidding. Give control to God. He has all the power. He has all the knowledge. There's an analogy I heard today. If you're out in the woods, I heard a guy speak on this. I can't take credit for this, but you could use any analogy like this. A guy out, if you're out in the woods and you're trying to, it's getting cold, it's getting dark, you need some water, you have water, you don't have a place of safety, you don't have fire, you don't have firewood, you start looking, and you may not make it through the night, okay? And so you're like, what do I do, what do I do? And then Jesus showed up there. And if Jesus really did show up, and you know it's him, 100% you know it's him. He shows up and he says, let's come back this way that I have a cave. And then your answer may be, well, I just came from that way, God. There wasn't a cave back there. I just came from that way, Lord. And then he goes, well, I also know where the dry firewood is. Well, I got my compass and it says this way's north, God. And God would be like, I know more than you do. I created the north and I created the magnetic forces that make your compass work. I know where the dry firewood is and I know where the cave is. And the man's answer was, well, if it really was Jesus, I would listen and do what he said. Would you? The answer was, how many of us have been in the woods? How many of us know the plan? How many of us know the plan Jesus has? And how many of us still continue to choose our own direction and stay in control even though God has a plan for us? We've all been in the woods. And we all can tell God how the cave's not there and the dry firewood's not over there. And I'm not going to do it that way, Lord, because we want to control the steps that we take. Whenever the cave and the firewood and everything, because God created everything, so already got this great plan made out for you, but you're going to seek your own plan instead. That's what Satan did. That's what Lucifer did. That's what was done at the garden. That's what Adam and Eve did, was they trusted. They quit trusting God's plan. And that's where we live today. Okay, so I'm believing we're going somewhere, so stay with me. All right, firewood, cave. Done with that. I'm hurrying. It'll be good. If you completely lose control with me, you don't have to stay. Anyway. Yeah, you do. No, I'm just kidding. Distracted. You have to stay because God's going to pull this together somehow. We're gonna get through this. Lord, be with me. Name of Jesus. Distracted. To worship something, I concluded that it has our attention. Wow, what has your attention today? We are distracted by it. 1 Corinthians 7:35 is this scripture that I think, I jumped out of me because I'm distracted. And this I say to your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. I've been really good at serving the Lord if the world would just quit distracting me. You mean I got to pay my bills, God? You get where I'm going with this. So what I'm learning is, and I've done this to myself, I'm going to skip ahead right now, I want to be distracted by God. There was a time in my life, and I'm going to testify now, that without anything else to hang on to, and a lot of you have been there, I was so distracted by God that it's all I did. I've got 3 books that I spent, I'm just going to testify here, this has nothing to do with me, I wrote three books over 8 years and published them and did all this. I wasn't even planning on writing books. I was just writing stuff down. I spent 3 years. All I did was get up and go in there in the morning and write stuff down to God because I realized how great he was. He was a redeemer and restorer of my life. And I was getting revelation like I'm bringing, hopefully God's bringing to you today at such an impactful level that I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. And I was trusting that point. Do you see what I'm saying? And it really is, guys. I was so distracted. I hate to use distracted, but maybe God is trying to distract us away from social media, away from junk, away from busy. Who's just straight up busy? I thought to myself, I can't do anything. And then I got in a position where there wasn't nothing else to do but seek God. Praise God, he called me out of darkness into the light so I could stand before you today and bring you revelation of the Holy Spirit because I had no ability to speak or write. I made a C in college in writing because they gave it to me. Who's been there? Bad, okay? I was bad, all right? What I'm just telling you, when you use your talent for God, I believe it's unlimited if we can surrender. I'm standing before you today. I need to abandon to another level, and my children, and to another place, so that Carrie and I can enter this new season with peace, because my children are out in the world and bringing life. They're creating their own lives, because I want to hold them and take care of them. Woo. We've been there, huh? Distraction from giving full attention to something. It was another attempt to distract attention from the truth. I want to be distracted by God, on fire for God. You know what I'll do for myself? Honestly, fast. I'll stop eating if I don't feel like I'm getting close enough to God. That morning, that day, quit eating these types of foods. I'm going to do whatever that my flesh is going. My flesh is going, come over here. Deal with the stuff here. Look at all these things I've got for you, Mark. I'll just go, you know what? I'm just not going to eat this morning. And then I'm going to go to the field 2 hours early, even though I don't have any work to do. And I'm just going to turn on my praise and worship music, even if I just walk around and do nothing except not sin today. Someone needs to hear that. I'm just going to abandon worship you, God, and do everything I can just to not sin today. That means seek your face. I end up distracting myself so I can get closer to God. Wow. Someone needs to hear that. You need to change some of the things that are keeping you in a pattern that won't let you surrender. I have to force myself. Sometimes it takes a week. I don't want to fast today, but we got steaks. I'm going to thaw some steaks out. Right? And it's not just steaks. It's anything that I want to give up to hear from God. That's worshiping him. That is an act of worship. Okay, so what is our task? I'm going to go to Luke 26:28. He said to him, what is written by the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. That's a lot. And your neighbor as yourself. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Are we doing that? That's our assignment. That's our task. We're distracted from that, aren't we? So I'm going to read Matthew 6:33. It's what I always read because it's always relevant. I'm supposed to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to me. I'm distracted. There's my task. I follow that task. Life's good. Truth, right? And it hurts, and I hope we're taking this light because this is all good. I'm not trying to beat us up, right? God wouldn't do that. God loves us so much that he's just waiting on me. However much you give me, Mark, I'm here for you, and I love you. I've got a great plan. Just keep coming my way. Okay, so I'm going to go, what is Satan's greatest desire? And I'm going to run through this a little bit quick because Satan's desire was to be worshipped, okay? Satan wants to stop every person from worshiping God. He wants us to put everything in front of us to not abandon, because this is he's the prince of this world, and he's got us all distracted at times, right? If there's anybody here that isn't distracted by things that aren't of God, please, I want to talk to you after we're done here because I'd love to have that conversation, because I know I'm distracted daily. And if you're not, then you're different than me. And I need God's grace. Amen. Okay, so Isaiah 14, 11, and 14, I love this. Satan makes five I will statements. I put this in here because, yes, we're talking about worship, but I also want you to know what is going on, the battle that you're facing, and how we can identify it so that we know the difference. Therefore, we can be better. Amen. Okay, so Isaiah 14, 11 through 14. I think there's five I will statements. Okay, I'm going to read the first of it so you'll get some of this. Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, the bottom. We'll get back to that. And the sound of your stringed instruments, doesn't mean we can't have stringed instruments. The maggot is spread under you and worms cover you. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, okay, this is when Lucifer was cast down. He's also Satan. He's also the beast. And I'm going to take us there. Even though it's controversial to speak about it, I'm going to tell you what the Word says and what the Holy Spirit reveals to me about who he is. He wants worship no different than we do at times. Okay, we're going to get to this point, and it's coming, okay? I will. Here's what he says. There's five I will statements here. I will ascend into heaven. This is what Satan, this is what Satan has said in his heart. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the highest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He doesn't say I'll be righteous or I'll be holy. I'm just going to be magnified and lifted up. Okay, now we're going to go to 15, one more. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest pits of the depth. Again, why the snake, and the snake crawled on the ground in darkness. Okay? So what we have to understand is Satan wants to be worshipped. All right? So I'm going to go on down and I'm going to give you the key things I learned from it. Satan basically saying, I want to be worshipped. Look at me. This is the nature we are born with. Ha ha. Please stay with me. Let's just get real so we can get transparent with this, okay? This is the nature we were born with. Look at me. I want to be noticed. I can prove it. And other people says, I can't coin this because other people say it. Just look at a group picture and who's the first person you look for in the group picture? Who's the first person you look for? It's you. Okay, now if it's not, then you're better than everybody else that I know when I ask that question, or if anybody else asks that question. You are the most important person in your life, okay? And it needs to be about, well, I love Robert Morris, he laughs about pictures, no good. Bad picture of you, the whole picture's bad, right? We always take a picture, and the girls are, I'm like, I don't care what it looks like. Girls are like, no, take another one. How many do that, ladies? Okay, so I'll take another one. Okay, so I want to go to where Jesus was tempted by Satan, Matthew 4, 8 through 10. Okay? And this is going to speak to us here. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Now, this is Jesus. And if this is the temptation from Jesus, I promise you the enemy's tempting you. So he takes Jesus up, and he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. At no point was Lucifer looking for anything except to be worshipped. And if you won't worship me, I'm for sure going to keep you from worshiping God, even if he is already defeated. Woo! You get that. I'll give you a fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, and this is the hard one. Everybody needs to get this one to leave here. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Do you know what? Every time I start to tell myself no, the enemy will leave. The problem is when he comes in there and he keeps going, how many times we just go, okay. How many people run back to our sin? How many people run back to our control? Run back to our doubt? Okay, just dig in, plant your feet, and trust Jesus. That's what he's asking us to do. Am I a failure at this? Absolutely. We all are going to deal with this. At some point, I want to be in celebration when I go home to be with the Lord, because I don't have to fight this battle anymore. I get to leave that junk here. But to think the idea that I'm going to get to a position that I never deal with any of that, You need to stop that right now. What you need to do is figure out how to live the overcoming life now and seek God and make a plan for yourself that you can be abandoned to Jesus. That's what we have to do, right? Okay. Are we good, Tay? Okay. All right. Three components of every worship. I'm not going to get through it all. I'm going to wrap up. There's three components of every service. You guys need to hear this. It goes back to what we're doing here. You can probably name the three things that we do. We worship, we pray, and we bring the word. That's God's plan in every service, okay? And I want to explain to you the three components of those service. There's three ruling angels in the Bible, okay? All throughout Scripture, and it's explained this. Gabriel was ruling over the word. He announced the word to Mary. Gabriel is the one who is ruling over the word of God. That's where God established Gabriel's plan. Does everybody know the other one? Michael, okay? And Michael was ruling over prayer. He was sent to Daniel. He was in the gap, making sure the prayer would go through. You see what I'm saying? So Daniel's position, Michael's position is in prayer. And Lucifer ruled over worship. Past tense. And I'm going to tell you why. You already know, but I'm going to explain it in the word. It doesn't matter what I'm going to go to Ezekiel, and then we're going to wrap up here. Are you with me? I mean, there's so much here that I just want to get through this one point, and then we'll be done, okay? Wearing you, everybody's like, I know you're getting it because I can tell, but I also know that I want to get to this final word here. Okay, in Ezekiel 28:11 through 18, there's a prophecy to the king of Tyre there, okay? In this prophecy in Ezekiel, he's not talking to the king. He's talking to the spirit behind the king, which is Satan here. Okay, we see that happen again. Do you know who, when Jesus turned around to who, which one of his disciples and said, get behind me, Satan, when he talked to Peter? How many have read the story? And Peter was doing something that was not lining up with what God wanted. And he turned around and he said, get behind me, Satan. Understand, he wasn't talking to Peter. He's talking to the spirit behind the man. Whether you know it or not, everything you do has a spirit behind it. And that spirit either comes from God or it comes from the enemy. A spirit of anger. When I get mad, I wish I didn't ever get mad. You ever been mad? Yeah, that didn't come from God. It's in the Bible in Galatians. If you want to look it up, there's the works of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. Anything in the works of the flesh is not of God. I can't go into all that today. Okay, so, babe, I'm going to, well, okay, so let's just go to, let's just start from there. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up lamentation to the king of Tyre and say to him, thus said the Lord, you are the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect. He's talking to Satan here, okay? In beauty, you are in Eden, the garden of God. We know there's only four people in Eden, okay? There's God, there's Lucifer, there's Adam and Eve. So he's talking to the spirit behind this man. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz, a diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you that day you were created. And I can say this. You are the anointed cherub. Cherub means angel. That covers that. Covered in all the stones. You know why Satan, you know why Lucifer was covered in all the stones? Because God is what? Light. So Lucifer was to reflect the light of God. Wow. In all his beauty. Okay, but I'm going to show you what happened here. Okay, holy mountain of God, you walked back and forth. Timbrels and pipes, okay, go ahead, there you go. Midst of the fiery stones, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created, which everybody was in the garden, and the garden's still there in heaven. This is before the fall and after the fall. There's different situation here, okay? This is when he was created. Till iniquity was found in you by the abundance of your trading, which is also merchandising, okay? And I went to the best scholars, and they understand that you're trading. You became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering angel, from the midst of the fiery stone. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that you might be gazed at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities. Stop right there, babe. Okay, so here's the deal. And this is true. Merchandising would be like this. And this is why I wanted to bring this word to you today. so that we can understand what we're trying to do up here when we worship all of us together so we can all get free. Because this place will explode through worship. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so right here the merchandising would be like this. If you're a man, I'm selling suits, and you come in, you want to buy a suit from me, and I'm working for the man over here, and you come in, you give me, I want $300 for this suit. And I get this $300, I give $200 of it over here to this man, and I put $100 of it in my pocket. Merchandising. You traded yourself. Lucifer was wanting, he was taking the glory of God, and it wasn't passing through to the kingdom. How many of us get in God's way? You see what I'm saying? So when we get up here and worship, our plan is, how do we get out of your way? How can we abandon ourselves so that I'm not merchandising God up here? Because it's not about Taya's talent anymore. It's a good word for you, isn't it? Luke tells myself every week, Luke has talent. He's like, I have to humble myself and get out of my own way, Dad. He humbles himself every week so that he doesn't feel like it's about him. You see where we're at? And that's what we do. Okay, so I'm going to skip and we're going to pray. I got 1 minute. I just said I'm going to be done way before 12 today, and we didn't. Where do I want to go? I can't do all that. Can I do all this? Final run. Okay, I want to go to Revelations 12:9. And then I'm going to pray, and we're going to gain one more revelation. Is everybody with me so far? That's what it is. We're either worshiping God or worshiping the dragon. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. We know this to be true. Because he was merchandising or trading. He was wanting the glory, and he wanted to be worshipped. We have to be careful of that. Okay, Revelations 13:4, and I'm going to thumb through this real quick. So they worshipped the dragon and gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to make war with him? Who is like the beast, and who is able to make war with him? See, I think we're worshiping the beast, anything that's not of God right now. And mankind, there's a lot of mankind that's saying, who is like the beast and who is able to make war with him? Who is like you? Look at this. You see, because they're lost. You see where I'm at. And when we get to this point, I have to laugh about this because this is what, I can't coin this, but this is what happened was, I believe this is going on in heaven before Jesus comes back. We talked about Gabriel. I believe the people are going, who is like the beast and who is able to make war with him? Well, there was also, back in the Song of Moses, it says, who is like our God? When they crossed in Exodus over the Red Sea and all the people were laid waste, right? They were saying, "Who?" All the Egyptians that were after them. And Miriam sang the song, who is like our God and who is able to make war with him? Now the people have turned that into who is like the beast and who is able to make war with him. And this is an analogy. I can't take credit for this, but what if Jesus looks at Gabriel and goes, what did he say? Gabriel's like, Jesus, they said, who's like the beast and who's able to make war with him? And Jesus is sitting on his throne. And Jesus goes, Gabe, that's what he calls him because he knows him. He looks at Gabe and he says, get me my sword. Get me my sword. And here's how John describes it. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judged and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has a name on his robe and on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is who is able to make war with him. and he's either your Savior or he's not today, because he's going to mount up. Amen. And that's good. This is a part of my life, and my call is to let you, is to, I believe that God is saying, tell them I'm coming, Mark. I love my people, and I'm coming soon. Because he's fixing to say, what'd they say? Get me my sword. Woo, that'll preach. Amen. That will preach. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we come to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, I'm thankful, God, that we can worship you today, Father, in spirit and in truth. God, we just pray for your favor, your protection, and wisdom over your people, over this house. And God, you've got a great plan and a future and a hope for everyone. God, I'm thankful that it's by our choice. You've already finished the work, that we go to this plan, and God, you're going to fulfill it in our lives. God, that we're going to make time for you. We're going to quit being distracted. We're going to know the difference in what worship is and what we worship. We're going to change the things that we worship starting today in Jesus' name, that we can become closer to you, and we can have the peace and the joy of the Lord in our lives. And so, Father, I thank you so much for this word. I thank you for Pastor Mark, the church, everything that we're doing. I thank you for being with me today to deliver this word. And, God, we just ask for your blessing to go forth over your people today in Jesus' name. And, God, I just I thank you for salvation. God, it's going to be a great week ahead that we leave here, though we leave here not in control. We've changed. Someone needs to hear that. You're going to trust God when you leave here today and just seek him. And so, Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, it cannot come back void. It goes forward in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to tell you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today's the day of salvation. Come talk to one of us or talk to Pastor Dusty or any of us, because today is the day of salvation. Let God move in your life. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Give the Lord a hand clap. 4 minutes over. We almost made it. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Taya.